The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Major's here, like he always is on Fridays, like all our guests. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Always a pleasure. The president making so much news. Where do we jump in? Let's jump in today, where the president left the White House, traveled to North Carolina, has met with the media multiple times, laying out his demands for California. Instead of federal disaster relief, which has happened decade after decade after decade after decade, without strings, the president talking about Los Angeles and the surrounding area, which has been devastated by the fires. Yeah, here's what I want. Voter ID. This is Donald Trump saying if California wants to get their federal disaster aid, voter ID, and in some way, the water to come on down. We've talked about this before. I want you to chime in as a California native on how different, unique, and for me, this is my personal opinion, how offensive I think it is to tell, including millions of his voters, that you're not going to get your federal disaster relief until I get something politically, which I want.
Right. So disaster relief comes through Congress. Congress has to agree on this. Congress has to decide what the package is. North Carolina, where Trump went first today, wants $20 billion additional dollars in addition to the $90 billion appropriated in December of last year because it has massive needs. And that $90 billion was for Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina. But North Carolina wants $20 billion more, so there's going to be another package, okay? Congress will decide all this, and you have to decide it on a 60-vote threshold in the Senate, okay? So whatever has to happen or does happen will be bipartisan. Democrats have to be on board. The president's obsession with voter ID laws is longstanding. Voter ID laws, if you look at the polling on them, are generally popular. Many states have them. Mm-hmm. Other states don't. It's extraneous to this topic, however, and I don't think Congress is going to go down this road. It's just not going to. So it's a non-issue. The other thing that President Trump said is, I want to get rid of
FEMA. Can I just stop you on that? So you think there will be Republicans who are passionate supporters of Donald Trump who will vote, in theory, vote against him on the voter ID situation?
Look, they will tell him it doesn't have the votes because it can't get through the Senate. And it will be washed out, in my opinion. Now,
okay,
if in fact, voter ID becomes something of a negotiating point, Democrats will have plenty of other things to offer in exchange for voter ID, because voter ID is a preference of conservatives. It's not a hard no for most liberals and progressives. There are some liberals who really don't like it, but it's not a hard no for most. What they would exchange it for in federal law is, okay, more allocations of federal support for election infrastructure and election workers, or more days of voting, more weekend days, things like that. They could do all that trade if, in fact, the White House really wants to push it. My sense is when you get in that give and take, which would be inevitable in the Senate, Trump will say, never mind. And we'll just go back to federal disaster aid, because North Carolina will be in the same package as California. That's a fact. So it's all going to play out that way. But Trump also said they want to get rid of FEMA. FEMA,
yes,
created during the Carter presidency.
Think about
any state that has gone through this process knows that there are some bureaucratic hurdles with FEMA. That's true. But there are also vast resources, pre-positioning, and expertise that only FEMA can bring. FEMA can direct all sorts of federal resources in ways that states can't. And because most states, almost every state in our union, has a balanced budget requirement, you can't deficit spend in disaster circumstances. It's much harder. The federal government can, which is one of the reasons the federal government backstops tremendous amounts of disaster aid. And in an era, Chad, when weather-related disasters are becoming more frequent, more volatile, and more expensive, the concept of handing this over to the states is beyond ludicrous. They don't want it. They can't afford it. And the real problem here, the real culprit, is not FEMA bureaucratic management or mismanagement. The real culprit here, and the thing that enlarges and makes deeper the difficulties people have rebuilding, is private insurance not covering the actual costs that people paid premiums to cover in the first place.
And in California, in Florida, in states where for decades they were dealing with weather-related problems, and where it's getting worse, more private insurance companies, and you may find it callous, and many do, are saying, we're leaving, or we're covering fewer and fewer people.
Not writing new policies. You cannot buy a new private property policy in California today. This was before the fires in L.A. They don't exist. The only, and I know this because I'm a private property owner in Southern California.
Yeah.
The only insurance you can purchase for your private property, which you have to have to clear your loan, is through a clearinghouse backstopped by the state of California. Mm. Private insurers will not write new policies, in part because California regulatory policy, they argue, kept premiums artificially low. But even with higher premiums, they wouldn't have covered the catastrophic costs of mudslides, atmospheric rivers, and wildfires. The same thing, though different weather systems, has complicated the private insurance market in Florida. It will complicate it in Florida, North Carolina. This is becoming a slow-moving private economy crisis in this country.
A very short break, and we're right back with the major, including the decision on security by the Trump administration and also Minnesota's own Pete Hegseth. By the time the day is done, is he the next Secretary of Defense? And a podcast I consume all the time, The Takeout. Oh, it's not dead yet, folks. We'll give you all the details on that when we come back with Major Garrett on CCO. Right back with Major Garrett. All right, more news this week about Pete Hegseth, the sister-in-law of an ex-wife, talking about Pete Hegseth and excessive alcohol use, violence, where his former wife, the sister-in-law, had a safe word to tell the sister-in-law and other families about concerns about Hegseth and his violence. The dollar amount coming out of $50,000. The encounter that happened, again, while Hegseth was married. Hegseth said it was consensual. They had to pay it off because it would have cost more. The other side says very differently. Yesterday, you had two center-right politicians, Murkowski and Collins, say they're voting against Hegseth, but it appears that is it. Mm-hmm. So before the day is done, is Minnesota's own Pete Hegseth the next Secretary of Defense?
In all likelihood, by a 51-49 vote that will mirror the procedural vote that moved his nomination to the floor for final passage. That'll happen about 9:30 Eastern tonight. The only ones who might have budged in the negative column would have been Mitch McConnell. He's already on the record as yes. Tom Tillis of North Carolina, he's already on record as yes. So, and you need four, because if there's three Republican votes, J.D. Vance, as the sitting vice president, can break the tie. Everyone knows that. So that's where Pete Hegseth is heading, to the Pentagon, with the narrowest confirmation majority in the history of any defense secretary sent to the Pentagon. And let's just be clear about this. Native son of Minnesota, nothing against Pete Hegseth, but you take President Trump out of the equation, he wouldn't be nominated by any other Republican, and he wouldn't be confirmed by any other Senate. He just wouldn't. He might have been,
I agree, 100%.
Nominated as an undersecretary or a press secretary or whatever, but this is a unique definitional component of the Trump White House. Same thing with Kash Patel. Kash Patel, under no other circumstances, no other Republican would be nominated to lead the FBI, nor would Robert F. Kennedy Jr. be nominated to run HHS. These are complete reflections of this moment in time politically, and this singular individual, Donald Trump, and his orientation to these agencies and the direction he wants to take them in.
Decisions by the Trump administration, and let's just be honest, Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo, security gone from the federal level. John Bolton, security gone. Anthony Fauci, security gone. Although I today read some reporting, Major, that Fauci's security may have ended in December and that the Biden administration did not continue it. So I want to see some more follow-up reporting on it. But let's be honest, this is all a personal axe to grind from Donald Trump. And it's why for sure it's happening with Pompeo and Bolton, and most likely why it's happening with Fauci.
Pompeo and Bolton had legitimate threats placed against their lives by other foreign nations, specifically Iran in Bolton's case, Iran and others with Pompeo. Pompeo was the second Secretary of State for Donald Trump. It's not as if he was someone fired like Rex Tillerson was, the first Secretary of State. Generally speaking, within the outer edges of the Trump universe, but not Trumpy enough. And when Trump says, well, you can't have these things forever, most Americans hear that and say, okay, I get that. But for John Bolton and for Mike Pompeo, and I don't know the status for Dr. Fauci, if it ended in December, I just know, having talked to him many times, he and his family felt for the last 2 years under near constant threat. I know Bolton, I've talked to him about it. He felt under threat. I don't know what Pompeo has felt the last 6 or 7 months because I haven't talked to him about it. But all of these decisions were made based on real data, real threats, and a real perceived vulnerability. And to your point, they were eliminated and terminated, not because there's any new data that those threats have subsided, just that Trump doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is within his prerogatives, but during the campaign, then-candidate Trump was asked over and over and over again, will you act vindictively about anything or anyone? And he kept saying, no, I have no intention of doing that, or maybe this, maybe tomorrow. All of these actions fall into the category of payback, and there will be more, and they will not be stopped here.
According to John Bolton, just as the Biden administration was ending, he was told the security threat from Iran was the same. So it's not like it's dissipated. Mm-hmm. It is not vanished. Okay, we got about 2 minutes or so. Your podcast, which is your pride, you enjoy the takeout as much as anything you do, is ending in one incarnation, but is about to come back in another version. What can you tell us for the loyal takeout fans, myself included, about when this broadcast will continue?
First of all, I want to thank WCCO for being one of the earliest adopters and one of the earliest members in good standing of the Takeout Radio Network, which spanned the nation. That show, that one-hour, one-guest idea, which I launched 8 years ago, ended last week. The last podcast is this week. It ended on streaming and radio last week. We are in the process of reimagining and evolving everything I tried to bring to the Takeout. Relentlessly curious, steadfastly non-ideological, dipping into pop culture, dipping into sports, dipping into economics, technology, medicine, also, of course, politics, and doing so casually, informally. And I hope this new iteration, which I can only say this, is going to be more frequent than the once-a-week iteration we had in the old format, will be something everyone will enjoy and get on board with.
Last thing, I now have executive powers myself. You may not know this, but I was granted executive powers, which I can use twice a week. And I would like to include you in my executive powers. Are you okay to accept the power I have, which involves you?
Yes, without hesitation.
Yeah. Anyone who lives in the state of California, anyone who has lived or eventually will be living in the state of California is now a Dodgers fan through and through. I mean, they won. I call them the little engine that could.
It's the poor little dears. They have such a hard time attracting major league talent.
Yeah. I'm glad you accept that responsibility.
You can write it down. I don't have to comply.
Wow. Defiance. Get the authorities, Dave. Get them. Track them down.
A federal judge has already tossed that out the window.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. See ya.
Major, the best. Linda's Construction Time Check. Time for me to shut up and time for you to get free installation. Get it done. Lindis, they'll get it done for you.